looking out at the devastation. I'm still here. I'm here.
Everyone. Name of Jesus Christ, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, because He indeed is Lord. He's Lord over it all, and in Him we live, we move, we have our being. Oh, I thank God for you guys out there, my brothers and my sisters. I thank God for this chance that we have to be in this life, to be part of what He's doing, to be part of this cosmic expression of His divine plan and purpose unfolding, to be part of this intense drama that's playing out for the entire universe to see, and in all dimensions, that there's just things that are taking place and happening, and we're part of that. And I'm grateful that we get to also be led by His Spirit in our time in the earth. And in this process, you know, we also go on this incredible journey that happens on an individual level. So you have your own journey and your own path that you walk out and walk through. And it also happens as a body of Christ, as we are being led and guided by the Spirit, as we are being moved and quickened by the Head, who is Christ, and His Spirit is moving and working through us. We have a larger thing that we are part of, that those one joint supplieth the need of another. We all do our part, and there's a larger thing that takes place in the earth that God does through us, along with the work of and angels, ministering spirits, along with the work of His Holy Spirit, along with God's complete intervention in all of these things. It's an incredible thing to be a part of. Now, in the middle of all of this, there are certain things that that are going to be part of our experience. And you know, I want to take a little moment to address a few of them, just because, you know, these are things that are going to come up on your journey, my friends. And I want you to I want to raise these just so that you have some reference points to know. We talked in the last audio a little bit about, maybe it's a couple before, about the methods of the enemy, the kind of things that the devil does over and over and over again. And part of the reason why he does them is because they work. You know, strategies to attack the people of God, they work. So he will do them over and over and over again because they have an impact. And many times they will work to slow your progress, to hinder you, to get you bogged down in a morass of just wasted energy and to try to depress you, to try to bring you down, to try to hold you back, or to try to seduce you in, or whatever it is. But it's going to be because he is going against the things of God. He's going against God's plan and purpose in your life. So I want to continue to raise these as they come up here and there, not because of the individual situations themselves, but to help to understand the general principles behind them, so that when you encounter them, the strategies of the enemy and how they seek to attack you, that you know what they are, and then you're like, oh, okay, that's what that is. I see it. I get it. I understand. So yeah, even me with my voice having to be cleared right now, it's always funny how, you know, that just sort of comes up when the recorder comes up. Anyways, yeah, that's even, you know, a little bit of a kickback from just the paradigm of the opposition that we face. And it even manifests itself in just trying to bring forward these words and these messages to you guys. So, all right, here's one that's worth mentioning. So I was listening to my buddy Zeph's show the other night, and I heard him talking about somebody that had written after the recent 20 on 20. And somebody that had, had said some stuff about my name, Govinda. And I was listening to it, and I was just like, really? Are we still going there? And Zeph, he loved my brother, and he was very, very kind in his defense, and very, explaining a little bit about the fact that, because this person was like, whoever this person was that was kind of saying stuff about, my name and the origin of my name, and then making that to then just be this this sweeping assertion about that I'm not a that I'm a bad person or that I'm something that's and it's funny because okay, here's the thing. So when my family had their first kids, they were not going to church. They were not part of that community. They were not part of a lot of things. So when I was born, the first names of the kids, the third kid in the line is me, and I was given the name Govinda. Now, if you go and anybody that goes and searches Google, and this person's definitely a Google warrior, probably a bitter woman out there, but you'll see the history and the origins of that name. And that name has an origin from India, from Hinduism, from which is what my parents were engaged in at the time that I was born. So that's just part of where I came from. Part of what, when God quickened me as a child, and brought me unto himself, and opened up my eyes to who he was, revealed himself unto me, and took me as I was, and began to lead me in a journey. But that was the name that I had. Now, I raised this, and thank you, Zeph, if you and Trish are listening to this, for the nice things that you guys said about me. But I raised this because I think it's a great moment to to show that evil spirit that is existing in a lot of Western and just global, actually, religious systems. So, okay, when Jesus called people, when he sent his disciples out, he brought people in. And when he said, okay, go into all nations, preach the gospel, go make disciples of all nations, it wasn't as long as they have Christian names, as long as they've got, as long as they line up with what our expectations are, as long as they change and conform to our thing. No. It was, you go. And God will reveal himself unto each person as he desires to. And he is going to quicken those people. You know how many pastors over the years in South Asia, because I've done a lot of missions in South Asia, have tried to get me to change my name, to have a nice, good Christian name. To have a David or to have a Timothy or whatever. And they asked me point blank, pastors' wives in particular. For some reason, women get really upset about my name. But and what is that? Where does that come from? See, here's the thing. Jesus would, in his own time, there was a few people where Jesus chose to change their names. So Jesus, Simon, he became Peter. God took Saul and made him Paul. But when God changed somebody's name, it was, first of all, it was him doing it. Him himself doing it with that person. And to move them closer to what their spiritual identity was. When man tries to change you, it's to conform you into their own image, to try to conform you into their own likeness, to try to make you fit their own worldview. And that's what religion does. So, here's what's funny, is that right away, even from the time that I was born, if I went by the way that the worlders were, I would be unacceptable to the Christians, because I have a name that's, you know, not an acceptable name. And it would also be unacceptable to the Hindus, because I'm following Christ. Isn't that funny? So right away, already, just by sheer nature, before anything's even happened, I'm already just out there. So, this is welcome to the world. So, no, I mean, all this stuff is things that, you know, I've already seen, heard, I've heard everything under the sun. And why stop there? You know, why not just keep going? Because you can just keep digging in, you know. You can dig in from everything, from the kind of work that I've done before and the kind of companies that I've done work before with, the kind of people that I know, my links internationally with the fashion industry and people that I've met in there. You know what's so funny is that in so many of these things, I've not gone and sought a lot of this stuff out. God has allowed for me to see and to be exposed to, and for me to learn in a lot of ways. Just people from all walks of life. And I thank God for all the experiences I've been allowed to have, because in them I've been able to actually, one, live a full life, but also understand, you know, where certain things are coming from, where people are coming from, what's a lot of people's mindsets, what are people's priorities, what are the things that people universally struggle with. I'm grateful for that. Now, there is a spirit behind people that needs to control others. These are people that are in a fallen state, by the way. These are people that are very bitter and very angry, and would do that to you, would fault you for anything they can find, you know. And it's also just to let you know right off the bat that, you know, you are never going to be acceptable. And so, oh, you've got a tattoo, you're never going to be acceptable. Oh, you got, you know, you're too short, you're never going to be acceptable. Oh, you're too tall, you're this, you're that, your name's wrong. You know what? Okay, here's one for you. Do you know that in the U.S., that the name that buyers go by, who buy these 200,000 plus trafficked American women and girls that are trafficked inside the United States, when they go by a name to buy and to rape these women, that they use the name John? Do you know that? Do you know that that's when people are asking, you know, for some name to reference them, they all go by the name of John. So what are you going to do about that? Because everybody knows a nice John in America. Everybody's got, you know, there's some nice John. Because it's a common name, and that's what they use. Do you think that that John the Baptist or John the disciple that Jesus loved, how do you think they would feel about that? How do you think that a trafficking victim feels about that name? Oh, there's so many things going on with all this stuff. Listen, before Lucifer fell, who do you think gave him his name? Who do you think gave him his name? Who do you think created him in the first place? If people would stop seeing things on a surface level and would start to understand and to start to see things from the level of the Spirit. I you know, this election cycle has been fascinating to me because of the fact that here you have somebody like a Ted Cruz who checks all the boxes of corporate religion, of corporate, just that corporate system that's there. And yet there's just something very dark and very evil inside of that man. And the longer that he's on the stage, and the light, and as light just continues to shine on it, it just reveals and exposes, by sheer nature of even that which is gravitating towards him, how evil this person is. And yet he checks all the Pentecostal boxes. And those that have zero discernment and can't see and can't understand what's going on are drawn and fall for that. Oh my gosh. At the same time, God's doing his own thing in the middle of all of this. And he's allowing for that just to expose and reveal things for what they are. So, I just listening to my buddy's show the other day, and I just realized, once again, just that little reminder that there are those people out there that are just, it does not matter what you do, you will never, ever, ever be okay in their eyes. Now, you're wonderful and completely made new and acceptable, and God loves you, and he's taken you completely in unto himself. So you are one with Christ, and you're that new creation, and you are an incredible eternal being in him, absolutely. But to these people, that are going to be out there, that are going to never, ever allow you to be okay, no, you'll never be acceptable to them. Now, I want you to know that, just because if you keep hoping to try to make things be okay with them, you're going to be disappointed, brothers and sisters. You're going to be, because you will never be okay with them. If you understand that, if you know that that's, because here's the reason why you'll never be okay with them, because they are never okay with even themselves. They are under an awful bondage and an awful bitterness. And just the fact that you try to even try to come to any kind of place of understanding with them is a waste of your time. It's a waste of your energy. It's a waste of even your thought process. You know, even addressing this right now, it's a waste, but to a degree. But at the same time, I want to raise it as a teachable moment for one reason, one purpose, because I don't want you guys out there to let the dead bury the dead. Okay, you keep going with Christ. Listen, if you have Christ Jesus, you've got all that you need. You don't have to be acceptable to the world. You don't have to make yourself make sense to the world. All right? When God picked people, or just let's just go through the scriptures. Let's just go through the people that God said, these are the ones that I'm going to use to write the scriptures. All right. Well, you've got just in the Bible that we even use, the traditional Bible. Well, you've got 66 different books written by 40 different authors. They're written over the course of 1,500 years. You've got everybody from slaves to kings in there. You've got different languages. You've got such a mix. People that wrote the scriptures, some of the largest sections of the Bible that were written by murderers. Moses was a murderer. Paul was a murderer. David was a murderer. These are guys that were killers. Would they ever be acceptable in a 501c3 church? No, never. Never. Would they ever be acceptable? Would they ever be allowed in? Would they ever be put in a leadership position? No, of course not. Of course not. You tell me one church in America where they would have a murderer be the pastor. A known murderer. Nope. Nope. You got to go through a background check. Nope. Not going to happen. I say known murderer because a lot of them, they've got some pretty sordid stuff going on in there. I mean, the Pope came out. some time back and said that of the Catholics, and this came in the BBC, the news is there, that of in the Catholic Church that 4% of their priests were pedophiles. They knew this. Now this is their broadcast to the world. So, you know, common sense would tell you that it's a gross underestimation. It's probably much, much greater than that. But at 4%, 1 in 25, you've got a 1 in 25 chance of your child being sexually abused in that church if he's left alone with the priest. How does that make you feel? Globally, that's, I think, it's either 4,000 or 8,000 priests around the world. And the way that they would do it, and part of the reason why they were getting in trouble for that earlier on is because so many people were coming forward with cases, and they were raising cases, and they were seeking to get some redress with the Catholic Church. And then people started asking, "How many of your priests are pedophiles? This is ridiculous." And that was, they had to provide some feedback to the rest of the world, because people kept asking these questions, because people kept surfacing that had been abused in these churches. So it was the cover-up. It was, so if that's the case, on one level, you've got, okay, so on the level of the Spirit, you've got people that God brings and calls unto himself and brings them out according to his plan and purpose and moves them by his Spirit to do things in the earth and to be his, the extension of his plan and purpose in the world. And they are not perfect people by any means, but they are following him and they are responding to what it is that he would have for them to do. And some of them, like a Daniel, you know, there were some people that might have, behavior-wise, been a little bit better than others, but that's secondary. The core is, where's your heart? Where's your spirit? Who do you follow? Some people may struggle with some things a little bit more than others. All right, that's their situation. So let them figure it out with God. Let them figure it out with the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God lead them. Why you got to condemn somebody? You don't have to do that. You don't have to be like that. Let them go. Let them figure it out. If they be following God. At the same time, you've got people that come under a covering and, you know, you've got people that come under this covering and Lucifer was the anointed cherub that covereth. You know, when you go back and dig into a little bit about some of the things about his nature and his character and then what he did. So, yeah, and they cover up for each other. You know, it's an amazing thing that we're in the middle of here, brothers and sisters. If you're looking for approval from the world, if you're looking for people to have your back and all of that, you know, it's not going to happen like that for the children of God. If people back you and help you and support you, fine. But that can't be the reason. Because if you got to do it alone, then you do it alone. If you got to track with God just yourself, then you track with Him just yourself. And know that the second that you start moving in the things of God, there's going to be hit squads from the enemy that are going to be sent and assigned to you. Guaranteed. You know, to snipe the work that you do, to try to take down anything that you put your hand to, just because the Spirit of God is with you, and just because there's so much despise from the enemy towards that which God would do in and through you. Because here, on a spiritual level, right? On a spiritual level, well, you've got Lucifer and though that third of angels that fell, and all knew what it was to be in the presence of God, all knew what it was to be in serving Him, and have all lost that place and that position. And in that, for you, my brother, you, my sister, who's a child of God, and your journey and your path is to spend all eternity when you finish up your assignment here, is to spend all eternity with the Father, and that which the enemy has lost is, and knows that he's lost, and knows that he will never be restored to, is what your eternal destiny is and in store for you. Absolutely. There is a rage and a hatred for you that's there. Now, if it was not for the protection of God, you would have been taken out a long time ago. If it was not for the protection and the hand of God and God's angelic messengers even around me, I wouldn't still be here to even bring this message to you. So I know the hand that is protecting me and the one that's watching over me. I know that. So, but you are in a hostile environment, so don't hope for it to be something else. This is, you're called in to be, you're a warrior. So just know that. You're going to have to fight the good fight. And this is what we talked about recently as well. You got to use the tools that God's given you. You've got to use the things that God's put there for you. You've got to pray. You've got to fast when God quickens you to fast. Do what God has for you to do, but move forward in the purpose that He has for you here. And know that, there's a lot of things you can't do much about as well. Like the fact that the devil and his angels fell. Hey, look, that was part of their own journey and their own process. They chose to reject, and in choosing to do so, you know, when they tried to talk to Enoch and saw there's that the book of Enoch, which is fascinating reading, but they tried to have Enoch petition God on their behalf, and there was no audience for them. It was kind of a done deal. You know, I think people don't like the fact that there are certain things that can be finalized along the way as well. There's certain windows that you have to do certain things, and then when they're closed, that's it. You know, this life is one of those, by the way. You know, this life is a window, and when it's done, that's it. This window's it. This is the chance you have to do and to live and to be in this life, in this paradigm. So make it a good one. You know, make it a good one. Make it a good one. You know, carry this thing out that God has for you. Maximize the reason and the purpose that God's put you in the earth. Do the thing that God has for you to do. And thank Him the whole way. Trust Him the whole way. Know that He's with you. Know that He's leading you. Know that He's guiding you. Do that thing that God has for you to do. Put your shoulders back. Realize, you know what? Listen, the haters are going to be there, all right? They are going to be there. And they are going to manifest themselves. You know, listen, if you are, when you are, and I've been through the whole spectrum, brothers and sisters. I've been up and I've been down. And I've been as high up as you can go in this world, in the eyes of the world, I should say. And I've been, you know, definitely had my times where I've been, down in the dumps as well. And, you know, when you're struggling and you're down in the dumps, people will stay far away from you. And when you're up, they're going to start shooting at you, and they're going to want to tear you down in jealousy, and you're just going to be surrounded by a bunch of people that are going to be just bootlickers to your face, but are also going to have malicious intent in their heart. Now, those are all the ones on the world side. So that's the time, especially where, you know, through all of this, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. This is where I love the brothers and sisters in Christ, because for them, they just love you. They just love you for who you are. You're one of God's. Whatever your position and your status is in life, doesn't matter, you know, to them, because they're going to love you no matter what. They're going to be there for you no matter what. They're going to care about you the same no matter what. They're going to, if they're giving you counsel, it's going to be without a vested interest in the outcome, because they just love you. Oh, I love the people of God, the real ones that are there. I love them. And, you know, when you know who those circles are, and who's in supposed to be in those circles, you know, then you also are able to have good counsel around you. I love the people that God has brought into my life. I've got some incredible, wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord out there. And I tell you, I just love them, you know. And they know who God's made me to be, and they love me for who I am, and that's it. So, you know, the people that are further out or kind of figuring things out or maybe not, you know, they could be good ones out there, but they're not necessarily called to be in this section of the journey that God has for me to do. Hey, God bless you. Carry on with your journey. If there's something that we can help with, you know, through the things we already are doing, we try. And then, but then there's a further ring that's out there that, listen, you know, if you are trying to find a place of peace with people that have rejected the Prince of Peace, you're not going to find that. Not with them. Because those that have gone the way of the world will never know the peace that you have. So to try to find some place of connection and meeting with them, not on their terms, no. It's not going to happen like that. What you do, my brother, what you do, my sister, is you live out the truth. You walk in that truth. You walk in the confidence of that truth. And if your circles get smaller, or if you just get isolated, whatever it may be, you still keep going. You still keep persisting. You still keep moving forward, knowing that he that began that good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. Knowing that you are not alone in your journey. Knowing that God is doing that work in you. And he can raise you up to incredible heights. And he can, just like he did with Nebuchadnezzar, if he's got to, he can take your mind away from you. Have you eating grass like a cow. I mean, this whole thing's his. He can do whatever he wants. And we surrender to his lordship. We surrender to his authority. If he wants to change something with us, he's going to change it. Ours is just to respond in obedience to the quickening of the Spirit of God. Ours is to just respond as God would move and quicken us as we are yielded to him and to the leading of his Spirit. That's it. Just do that. Just do that and call it a day. And live in the freedom that you have in Christ. You know what, brother, sister, you know what? They hate it when you're free. Oh my gosh, they go nuts. The worlders go nuts when you are free, when you enjoy the freedom you have in Christ, when you don't care about the things that they care about. Oh, I tell you, they go nuts. You know what? When you don't care about their priorities, when you don't care about their fashions, their material goods, their social circles and their parties and their this and their that, and all the things that are so important to them, and when you just are walking in that fulfilled life that you have in Christ, and you are just carrying on with his purpose, and they know because for themselves, they're empty inside. So they're doing all these things, and they continually are empty, and then you're just walking around, and they can tell that you're fulfilled. And you don't need any of the things that they need, that they think they need. And they just keep going down that rabbit hole that leads to nowhere. And they see you carrying on. It drives them nuts. But you know what? That's important. It's important for them to get driven nuts too. Because the answer and the solution is right there. It is Jesus. And they need to know that. And if they would swallow their pride and bow their knee before the King of Kings, they too can drink from the water of life. They too can receive. And like Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. They can have rest. And it's there. And they don't have to, he gives it freely. But you got to take it on his terms. It's not going to happen on your terms. It's not going to happen with you trying to be in control. And it's not going to happen with you trying to serve the world. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. You're going to serve one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and mammon. You can't serve both God and the world. You cannot serve both the light and the darkness. You're going to have to pick. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You're going to have to pick. What Jesus Christ offers is freedom. What Jesus Christ offers is a way out. What Jesus Christ offers is salvation. What Jesus Christ offers is a new life. What Jesus Christ offers is that which is the fulfillment of the very core and desire of your eternal soul. You can refuse it and try to find that in all these other places, and you're always going to come up short. And they know that. You, my brother, you, my sister, you are a living witness and a testimony of that which is true. Whatever adjustments that God wants to make in your life, He will make them in your life. He will do that by His Holy Spirit. He'll do that with you. So you know what? I love that. I love that aspect of my relationship with Christ. Because why? Because you know what happens? His Holy Spirit quickens me. If there's something that God wants me to adjust, He shows me. And then I just do that. And if there isn't anything that He wants me to adjust, I don't adjust anything. Because He's fine with me being in a situation that I'm in or the way that things are. I'll give you another example too. Sometimes, say like with diet and nutrition, right? Well, God may quicken me to change something up, maybe for a season, maybe for a little time. Maybe God will draw you into a fast for a little while because He wants you to have some clear thinking. And maybe in the middle of that whole process too, as He's doing that, it's actually really good for your digestive tract, or it's actually really good for your thinking, or whatever it may be. And then you're done with that. And then you'll go and have a few drinks with your friends. Doesn't, whatever it is, you know, this is part of a dynamic living relationship with Him. As compared to a rote, cancerous religion that the world just wants to enforce on you, wants to just grind you down into. Oh, you know what? I am so grateful that God saved me from that. I am so grateful that Jesus Christ brought me out of that. I am so grateful that He saved me. Oh my gosh. It's part of my journey though. I had to see that. I had to know that. What did Jesus say to his disciples? He said a time's going to come when they're going to kick you out of the synagogues. They're going to throw you out of the synagogues because you follow me. He didn't tell them to leave. He said they're going to kick you out because of your allegiance with me. So there was just going to be a time where they're going to get thrown out because they followed Christ. They were trying to go. They were trying to make things work. No, they couldn't have them in there because they are little Christ, little followers of Christ, little Jesus, Christians. Little ones anointed in the order of Christ. They couldn't have that there because it was disrupting things. It was revealing things for what they were. It was exposing things for what they were. It was breaking things up, and the world always wants to put the light out and move it out and keep people under that bondage. Why do we share these things with you guys today? Because you need to put your shoulders back, pick your head up, know that you are a child of the living God. And when God called you, He called you just as you were to follow Him. And He takes you just as you are. And He loves you just the way that you are. You are made, and you are made, and you are fashioned and formed in His likeness. And you are perfect just the way that He would have you to be. And if there's any adjustment whatsoever in your journey, His Spirit is going to be the one to quicken you for that. Not man. Not man. All right? It's not going to be some person out there that's going to be telling you, do this and don't do that. No, it is going to be God Himself. Just like it's going to be God Himself who's going to reveal His Word unto you. Just like it's going to be God Himself who reveals the truth to you. What did Jesus say? He said that you need that no man should teach you, for my Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. You know what? Where I've learned the Word, where I've learned the Scriptures from, it's been from Him. I've gone and I've studied, I've gone to colleges, I've sat with teachers, I've traveled all over the world. But you know who explained and taught me the Scriptures? Was the Holy Spirit. You know how this word and this broadcast comes to you is from the Holy Spirit. Because when we start speaking like this, and when Scriptures start coming back, where do they come from? They come from the quickening of the Holy Spirit. You can read and study till you're blue in the face, but it is only when the Holy Spirit brings something back to you and quickens something back to you that has life in it, that it's applicable for that moment. It's exactly what you need. When you guys listen in here, the reason that you listen in here too is because the Spirit of God is with this and on this. It's not because there's something in clever understanding or some crafty way of being able to present something. No, God's in this. And you know what? He's fine with me being who I am and how I came into this world. He's fine with you being who you are and how He brought you into this world. The worlders cannot stand it for you to think that you're all right. Oh, they've got to have, you've got to have something that needs to be fixed. There's got to be something you got to fix. Isn't that hilarious? You know why? Because also in the world too, on a materialistic standpoint, because you know we've been in the age of the lower merchant. As long as there's something that you have to fix, there's something that can sell you. As long as there's something in you that has to be fixed, there's something now that they can offer you externally that you don't have within. The kingdom is within. Freedom is within. So when God has put everything in you that can be brought out of you from within into your situations to address whatever it is that needs to be addressed, no, they want to sell you something from without. They want to tell you your solution's over here, over there. There's a place over here and over there that you got to get to. You've just got to get to this ashram. You've got to get to this temple. You've got to get to this church. You've got to hear this message from this pastor. You've got to have this person over here lay hands on you and pray for you, and then things are going to be okay. No, I tell you what. All you need is Jesus. All you need is to reach out to Him, and He is going to meet you where you are. That was the faith of the centurion. He said, you know what, Lord Jesus, you don't even have to come to my place. All you got to do is say the word and my servant will be healed. How about that for a change? How about that type of faith for a change? How about just knowing that if Christ Jesus speaks the word, that things are going to change? What did Jesus say? He said, I've not found this kind of faith. No, not in Israel. This is right here. That's it. This guy gets it. Further to that too, what did the centurion say? Because I'm a man under authority, and I know if I tell this one go, he goes, and if I tell this one to come, he comes. I know, being a man under authority, I know how this works. And I know you, being the one that has authority over all of it, Lord Jesus, I know that if you speak, things will change. I know if you say, be healed, you don't even have to show up. You don't even have to come into my house. I'm not worthy for you to even come into my house. You don't even have to come here. You just have to say the word right where you are, because I know that in the realm of the Spirit, that's where all this stuff is. And I know that if you speak this word, that's going to happen. And Jesus did. And according to His faith, that was His experience. See, in a materialistic and a material world, people would be like, nope, you know, Jesus has got to come in and He's got to do all these special things, and we've got to go through this entire convoluted sequence and religious practice to finally see something happen. No, just say the word. Say the word and it's done. Say the word and it changes. Same thing happened with Elijah and Nahum, the Syrian, who was this major general. He wanted to be healed of his leprosy. And when he showed up, what was the diagnosis? Just go dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan. You're going to be healed. And he got upset. Nahum got upset because he was like, oh, I thought he was going to come out. I thought he was going to wave his hand. I thought he was going to do this. I thought he was going to do that. Isn't there much nicer rivers to go do this in? And what did his servant have to tell him? He said, look, if Elijah had asked you to go and to do some grand thing, you would have gone and done it. So why not just do the simple thing that he's asked you to do? And as soon as he went and did it, he, you know, came up out of the water on the 7th time, and his skin was like a baby. And he was completely restored and super excited about it. And tried to go back, wanted to give a gift to, I forget right now if it was Elijah or Elisha, but wanted to give him a gift, and You know, he wouldn't take anything. And then as Nahum was leaving and going further down, and then the servant of Elisha, he ran after him thinking, oh man, this is a missed opportunity. Because he was a carnally minded person. Did not realize there's something bigger going on than some material acquisition. Ran after Nahum and said, oh, by the way, somebody just showed up. Some prophets just showed up at our place. You know, Elijah sent me after you just to see, can you send back some silver and some clothes? And, you know, Nahum didn't know. So he's just like, yeah, sure, here, whatever you want. And he gave him everything the servant asked for. And this guy came running back and hid it. But nothing is hidden from God. That's another part. You always have to remember, nothing is hidden from God. And the leprosy that left from Nahum clung to that servant. And Elijah exposed it. He just said, what do you think you're doing? What do you think you're doing? You think this is something casual? You're going to play around with this? You just saw God move on behalf of this man. You just saw the hand of God, and you're going to go and be casual with these things. You're going to go try to play around. You're going to try to go cut your own little deal in some back room, and you think that God's not going to see this? And you think that there's no consequences. Here's the other part of this too, brothers and sisters. There are consequences. There are consequences for playing around with the things of God. All right? There are consequences for playing loose and fancy with God's word, God's name, God's what He's doing in the earth, for trying to profit off of the suffering of other people, or try to profit off of God's work and try to hang around, just like the money changers in the temple. All right, here's where God's doing something, so they're just going to hang around that periphery and try to make a buck. Oh, you want to? You can't. No. You can't go inside here without temple money. So give us your regular money, and we're going to exchange it for temple money. Seriously, you can't. They just do this over and over and over again. How many times do they do this? They can't help themselves. Carnal, fallen nature, always hanging around like parasites. And even as Jesus threw the money changers out of the temple, God is going to clean house. And as He exposes and reveals things for what they are, whew, listen, you don't want to be on the wrong side of Him. He gives people time and space, but I tell you what, there is a point where, you know, He settles accounts. There is a point when the ruler comes back and asks everyone to give an account of the talents that he put in their charge and in their care to see what they did with them. There is a point where God gives according to every man according to their works. There is a point where God brings and calls everything to an account. There is a point where God will turn around and say, okay, what did you say or do towards my servant, or the ones that I called, the ones that I set to speak in my name, the ones that I called to do my work? What did you do to them? What did Jesus say when He came into the earth and He was talking, and here's the Pharisees there, and He's like, you guys, you kill the prophets. Your forefathers killed the prophets, and you're the ones decorating their graves. You're the children of the murderers. And yet you claim to be the spokespeople of God. You claim to be the ones to have this place. And you don't even realize what you're a part of. How many of God's people and God's servants have been killed over the years? Babylon, mother of harlots, in you is all the blood of the prophets. That system that's there is responsible for the blood of all the prophets and all of the righteous men and all those that have been sent into this world by God to speak the truth and to bring the solution. And that's been the thing that has killed and destroyed and sought to block out that light. So when God brings things to account, just realize that it's Him doing it. Now, here's the other thing too. It's not going to happen the way that you think it is, that any man thinks that it is. I love it. I love it when God shows me and just speaks to me on these lines. When Jesus Christ came into the world, they were expecting a Messiah to show up a certain way. They were expecting a deliverer. They were expecting to be set free from Roman occupation. They were expecting all these different things, and they were ready to rally to this person. And when Jesus showed up, He didn't do anything the way they thought that He should do it, because this is the way that a Messiah should show up, should be like this and like this, and here's all these boxes that He should check. You know what's funny? They didn't even like Jesus. They didn't even like Jesus. They didn't like the way that He was born. He was born in a manger. If He's going to be a conquering king, He should be born in some good spot. He should be born in the right place. No, they didn't like it. They didn't like the way that He showed up. They didn't like the things that He spoke. They didn't like the way that He addressed things. They didn't like the priorities that He made. They didn't like the commentary that He had. They didn't like the things that were important to Him. They didn't like the company that He kept. They didn't like they did not like Him. When Jesus was invited for a feast, or when He was invited to somebody's home, the religious leaders invited Him to their home, they would invite Him to their home just to show them what they thought of Him, just to try to set Him up. When Jesus was invited to the Pharisee's house where the woman washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and put perfume on them, the guy that invited Him over didn't even offer Him the common courtesy of water to wash His feet. And Jesus brought that up. Just a common courtesy that you would extend to a guest. No, they did not like Him. They didn't like Jesus. And Jesus even told us certain things for your encouragement, my brother and my sister. He told us certain things so that you would know that they're not going to like you for the very reason of the Spirit that's in you. So, He said, look, if they've done this to the teacher, what do you think they're going to do to the followers? You know, if this has been His experience, what do you think is going to be your experience? But you continue to persist. You continue to move forward. You continue to do that which God has for you to do. Don't let up. Don't slow down. And don't hope for their approval. Because you're not going to find it with them. Their whole thing is dead. They have a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. They refuse to know the truth. They refuse that which would set them free. They want to stay in their bondage. They want to stay in their in their miserable state. So you continue on in the things of God. Here's a question. All right, you guys that have been listening to Faith Mix for some time, you tell me, where do you think this message would have ever found a place in any pulpit? Do you think this message would have been allowed to go forward in any of those places? I rest my case. And yet, has this not been the word that's been necessary? Has this not been the thing that needed to be put out there? Has this not been the thing that has encouraged you in your walk, in your journey, as the Spirit of God would quicken you through it? Not something that any man would do, but something that God would do through, because it's yielded unto Him, whatever He wants. If He wants a word said, we say it. And if He doesn't want anything said, we shut up. And we just wait. And we wait on Him. So, you know, let it be a case in point. Does it need to be acceptable to them? No, not at all. We don't care. If you don't like it, don't listen. In fact, if you don't like it, why do you listen? Ah, there's a better question. For the people that don't like it, why do they listen? Because they're still drawn in. They still know that there's life there, and they're looking for some way to hook that. They're looking for some way just to get access to that, because they want to siphon the life off, but they don't want to yield themselves to the Spirit. They don't want to yield themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. No, what they want is they want to siphon the life off of you. Oh, you know what? If you're trying to do that here, this is the wrong spot for that brother. This is the wrong spot for that sister. This is not our first rodeo by any means. And there's a there is a trail of broken legs behind that while we've been walking on this journey, and we haven't been the ones to have to do that. Oh, I tell you, just this is a good time to walk away if that's your purpose here. Because God has, by His own way and His own design, kept us going. And when He's needed to, He takes things out. Now, He does it. We don't do anything. We just keep moving forward. Oh, if you don't believe it, just keep going. If you don't believe it, just, well, wait and see. Okay. All right. We know whom we have served, and we are persuaded that He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we can ask or think. We know that He that began that good work in us is going to carry it on to completion. And we know it, and we trust Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, move forward in the freedom that you have in Him. You are exactly what God made you to be. You are exactly the way God wanted you to be. God brought you into this life exactly the way that He wanted you to be in this life. All the things that you've gone through in life, whatever they may be, and as difficult as your experiences may have been, put all of those before His feet and surrender your entire being to Him, and let His Spirit flow through you. There's a freedom in that. And then move forward. Move on. The haters will hate. Let them hate. They're going to be miserable, and they're just going to bite and devour each other in a divided house all the time. That just leave them. Let the dead bury the dead. You carry on in the things of God. And know that God is with you. And we love you. Oh, I tell you what, we love you guys. And even for the people that are out there that are evil and hateful and destructive and venomous people, our prayer for them is, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. You know, they're bound and slaves to an evil system, and they're just trying to execute that which that system wants them to do. But Father, if it be your will, draw them unto yourself and set them free from their bondage. Because they're miserable. They're absolutely miserable. But you, my brother and sister in Christ, you know the way of life and truth. Move forward in that. Have confidence in that. And rest assured that God is with you. Even in your difficult times, He's with you. All right. Hey, we love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. Always love to hear from you guys. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.